Tomorrow, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee will consider President Obama's request for authorization to use military force against ISIS. Meanwhile, today, Iraqi forces recaptured a town from ISIS militants. The town is near Tikrit, which ISIS claimed last summer, and the fight for Tikrit is being waged as Kurdish forces launch their own offensive against ISIS in the oil-rich province of Kirkuk. Sebastian Usher is the BBC's Arab Affairs editor. He's with us from London. And Sebastian, are these coordinated counterattacks? Is this a strategy to spread ISIS thin?
I don't think they are coordinated, no. I think the Kurds are very much working in an autonomous way. I mean, they, in Kirkuk, which they took over themselves when the Iraqi army melted away last summer with the ISIS advance, they took over the city of Kirkuk. Now, that came under attack from ISIS back in January. There was a day or two when it looked as if the jihadists might be able to make gains there. So this is very much something that they've been building up to, the Kurds, in the past few weeks, something they want to do as much for themselves as for the whole battle against ISIS. And it's been successful. I mean, I was just seeing today from reports in Kirkuk, but they've ended the operation, which they launched about a day and a half ago now, saying successfully they've won back about 40 miles of land, which essentially what they're doing is making it far more difficult for ISIS to threaten the city.
And what about the battle for Tikrit, the hometown of Saddam Hussein? And this is not the Kurds that are trying to retake this city from ISIS, but rather Iraqi forces and Shia militias backed by Iran.
Yes, very much so. I mean, it's not only the Kurds who are not involved in this, the US isn't involved in it either. No airstrikes. It's very much, I mean, although it is the Iraqi government and it's their forces that are involved in this, I think the real key to the success that there's been so far and the very likely victory that they will have possibly in the next day or two is down to the Shia militias, which are very openly under the command of Iranian advisors. The Iranians have been showing for the first time lots of pictures of their advisors, of their senior commanders standing, leading the operation, not in the middle of the battle, but deciding on the positions, what they do, etc. I mean, the US has been somewhat critical of the advance. I mean, this is the biggest advance. This is the biggest attempt to kind of retake the initiative that the Iraqi government has done since ISIS, you know, launched its amazing advance last year. So the stakes are high in that way. But I mean, the US has criticized the tactics, saying that, you know, it's looks essentially very undisciplined, but that the sheer numbers that are involved, I mean, we're talking perhaps around 20,000 forces against what's estimated to be only a few hundred ISIS fighters, would seem to be overwhelming. The latest that we're hearing from that is that one of the towns over to the northwest of Tikrit has been taken this morning, and that is a springboard for what looks like the final assault on the city itself. Now, ISIS has blown up, I'm hearing, a bridge that links this town of Alam, it's called, with Tikrit in an attempt to slow the advance there. But it does look almost inevitable that the Iraqi government will win this fight.
Well, you mentioned that the U.S. is not helping with airstrikes. Why is that?
Well, they say they weren't asked. They don't want to look as if they are forcing themselves on the Iraqi government when the Iraqi government hasn't requested their assistance. They don't want it to look, of course, not just in Iraq, although very particularly in Iraq, particularly to the Sunnis, who are the most alienated group in Iraq, the ones who to some extent sided with ISIS and allowed ISIS to make these gains, but also to the wider region. They don't want it to look as if the US is calling all the shots here. I think they have concerns. In General Martin Dempsey, who's been in the region, who was in Baghdad on Monday, speaking to Iraqi leaders, certainly made clear that the Americans have concerns over Iran taking the leadership, as it seems, in this offensive. It's not something that the Americans would want to see spread out across the rest of the country. But in these particular circumstances, and particularly, like I say, when in a sense the Iraqi government is starting from ground zero here, it collapsed the government forces so catastrophically last year that any move that restores the initiative to some extent to them has to be welcomed. And this is what seems to be happening with Tikrit. So for now, the US is voicing some concerns over what's happening, but not major ones. And perhaps, I mean, the key thing that General Dempsey was saying is that it's not just a test of what the Iraqi government is able to do in a military sense. It's a test of what they do when they win back a city. Will there be reprisals against the local residents there? It's a mainly, you know, it's a town which is a Sunni town almost completely. The fear is that there could be reprisals led by the Shia militias, and that will make it obviously very, very difficult to bring Sunnis back on side in the fight against ISIS. And that is seen by everyone, and the US President Obama has made this very clear, as an essential part of a strategy to defeat the jihadists.
And I wonder how much of this is about Mosul and retaking Mosul from ISIS, because I read that ISIS has actually pulled some of its fighters out of Mosul to defend Tikrit.
Yes. Well, again, we were hearing yesterday from sources in Mosul that there are far fewer militants being seen on the streets there, that reinforcements are being taken down to Tikrit. And remember, you know, you have to remember that, I mean, ISIS, though its forces have grown considerably since last year, they still can only call on thousands. So they have to move their forces around. And the more battles that they're having to fight, obviously, the more thinly that they'll be stretched. Also, the journey down from Mosul is some considerable distance. So it opens them, it exposes them to attack. And again, we were hearing yesterday that a convoy of ISIS fighters was hit by an airstrike and a number of them were killed. So again, that's part of a strategy, the overall strategy, to try to deplete them and then defeat them. And Tikrit, of course, is, you know, it's on the highway from Baghdad leading up to Mosul.
Right.
The feeling is that the attack on Mosul, if it comes, when it comes, could be in the next couple of months.
And as I listen to you talk about this and reprisals against people who live in these towns and the Shia militias going after these Sunni ISIS fighters, I also note a piece in the news today about some Iraqis who helped the United States during the war now suing the Department of Homeland Security, claiming that there have been years-long delays in processing visas for their entry into the U.S., and they're now being put in danger staying in Iraq as people who helped the Americans. Are we going back into a situation where we really do have a Sunni-Shia split in Iraq and perhaps another civil war?
Well, there's definitely a major split, and there has been for a very long time. I mean, even before ISIS, you know, emerged last summer, that split had already meant that, you know, for people like me who are following this day in, day out, the fear that it could go back to a sectarian civil war was looming ever larger. I mean, that, of course, is what the US, as I was saying, General Martin Dempsey, all the players are desperate to try to avoid. And this is what the Iraqi government, as I say, its test is to try to ensure that when it does, as it will with Tikrit, for example, and there'll be many other victories, I'm sure, against ISIS too, in this slow war to try and drive them out, that it doesn't overplay its hand, that the Shia militias are kept under control. And that spiral of violence, of tit-for-tat reprisals, doesn't become the main dynamic of what happens in Iraq and what dictates its future again. And as you say, many of the Sunnis who took part at great risk to themselves in the awakening movement back in 2007, 2008, when the Sunnis rose up against what was then al-Qaeda in Iraq. Many of those people, just as that example you were giving me there, feel that they were shortchanged by the US, that they were used, they were paid at the time, but that they were discarded afterwards, that they weren't given the support they needed for their own security, financially, and so on and so forth. And that, again, was one of the major weaknesses that the jihadists were able to exploit in this extraordinary advance that they made last year.
That's Sebastian Usher, the BBC's Arab Affairs editor, speaking with us from London as a number of battles wage in Iraq, some led by Peshmerga Kurdish forces, some led by Iraqi forces, and of course, the U.S. very interested in the outcome of the fight against ISIS. Sebastian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.